Okay, that's it for questions. And there's one topic I wanted to discuss with you today. Sometimes we like to make a little excerpt, and this would make, I think, a useful excerpt. And it was inspired by something I was thinking about already. And then Scott Adams did a YouTube about a Rasmussen poll, and it inspired his cartoon Dilbert to be dropped in many places. And he started a sort of a new website or new subscription service. So it's a way of sort of breaking free of the legacy media is what it looks like to me. But let me tell you about the poll and let me tell you what he said. So Rasmussen apparently did a poll that said 26%. So they were surveying African Americans, and 26% of Black respondents disagreed with the statement, it's okay to be white. While another 21% of Black people surveyed said they were unsure, the remaining 53% of Black respondents agreed with the statement that it's okay to be white. So Adams announced, I don't think it makes any sense as a white citizen of America to try and help Black citizens anymore. Doesn't make sense. There's no longer a rational impulse. And Adams talked about why he moved to a neighborhood that was as much white as possible because Black neighborhoods have too much crime, et cetera. So he really talked about African Americans as though they were what I call a blob, and he should judge any Black person based on his judgment of the blob. Now, I listened to this, and I'll tell you why I really noted it. Normally, I would ignore stuff like this because it's all part of the divide and conquer stuff, and it's just a huge waste of time. But this time I paid attention, and I paid attention because it has happened to me recently that someone will have a problem with another woman in the workplace and suddenly speak to me like, or, you know, in one instance, it was somebody had had a problem with one woman and then another woman. And then suddenly they blew up at me and referred to me as part of this blob of women in the workplace. Do you know what I mean? And suddenly I was no longer me. I was just a member of a blob. And I was personally responsible for behavior of people who are totally separate to me. I don't control their behavior, they don't work for me. And suddenly I was completely at risk from, I was 100% responsible for all bad behavior of anybody who was also a woman. I was like, what? 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 Now, this has happened several times in the last 2 years. You know, somebody's having a real problem with their wife, or they're having a real problem with their daughter. And the next thing you know, I'm in a blob. And I'm being talked to like I'm a member of the blob, and I am not trustworthy because I'm one of them who is, in other words, their wife's bad behavior is my problem. Does this
Right,
ever happen to you?
it's the you women narrative. I've been had people take off people, men, you know, it's the other gender, because obviously women aren't going to do this for the most part. I have had people, men, say, oh, you feminists, assuming I'm what they call a feminist, and I'm not
To call you a feminist.
because I'm a working woman. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I'm not an anti-feminist, but you know, I'm just somebody who's of a particular age, and I'm kind of typical of a woman who's relatively well educated and not married, and I'm all of a sudden a feminist, and then I get to hear all the things about feminists that are on this person's mind. And you know, I'm sure it happens to people who are African American. It happens to people whose native language is a different language, and therefore they have accents and live in this country, whether or not they're citizens. And there is a real problem with people lumping whole groups together and assuming that they're all the same.
So whenever this happens, because it's been happening more, the first thing I say is, do you have a Google phone? Do you have an Android phone? And oftentimes they say yes. Because when this happens, what I feel like is I'm not talking to, you know, my colleague or my friend. I'm talking to their phone. I'm talking to whatever program is being run through their Google smartphone. And I mention this because once upon a time, I had a very dear colleague. We were very close. We did a lot together. He got an iPhone, and literally within 30 days, our close colleagueship was over. I stopped being able to talk to him. I was talking to his phone. It was one of the strangest professional experiences of my life, and very distressing. But I have to tell you, I think, because I think this happens to men. I think it happens, you know, you Americans, or you German, or you French, or whatever. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this, Carolyn, is if we believe in the rule of law, then each person is accountable for their conduct and their behavior. And they're not responsible for their neighbor. They're not responsible for their, in terms of, in other words, their neighbor's behavior has nothing to do with them. If you've ever been in litigation, which I know you have, you know how important it is that each person in the legal experience is held responsible for their actions as supported by hard evidence.
Absolutely. And you know what? This even goes to the current apparent divide or supposed divide between Democrats and Republicans, or the labels liberal and conservative. None of those terms mean anything anymore. So, you know,
not that they ever did.
Those Republicans and those Democrats, the Democrats have done this and the Democrats are responsible for that. And if you're talking about a specific number of people on Capitol Hill who have that designation, maybe they've gotten together and agreed on something. But as a general rule, I don't think you can make generalizations about any group like that anymore.
So it's really funny. I just watched the videos of Chuck Schumer and then Mitch McConnell trying to criticize the sharing of the January 6th videos through Fox News. And all I can say is they were definitely both part of the criminal blob.
Right. They have much more in common. You know, the crooks have much more in common with each other.
Right. You should have seen them trying to defend the official narrative. And it's very funny. Anyway, but I think there is a tremendous effort to promote and encourage blob thinking.
And it's divide and conquer. It's the divide and conquer strategy.
Right. So I want to say a few things about the African-American community in connection with this, having listened to what Scott Adams said. The first thing I want to say is I grew up in a neighborhood that was predominantly African-American. You know, it started out maybe not majority African-American, and then steadily became more African-American as I grew older. And I was raised by our family cook who was African-American. And I remember when I had to make critical decisions during the litigation, whether I was going to sort of go with the establishment or go with the law. You know, one of the critical impacts on me was thinking about who I loved and who I needed to have integrity with in terms of the decision. And it was the woman who raised me that was very instrumental in that decision, because she had taught me so much about values. But what was very interesting is when I got into litigation with the federal government, I knew to go back to the African-American churches to get the training in how to outwit what's called the beatdown. Because African-American neighborhoods were targeted by the U.S. intelligence agencies. They were used as distribution points. They were used in a variety of ways. So when somebody from, because I used to live where Scott Adams lives, I believe he lives in Pleasanton or nearby Pleasanton in California. You don't get beatdowns in Pleasanton, California of the kind that you get in the South Bronx. Right. So the notion that Black neighborhoods have more crime, I think there's a long story here. And for anybody who doesn't understand it, I would recommend they go read my online book, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. I have gone back and studied the economics of racial politics in America. And one of the things I will say is if you look at the contribution of the African American community to the GDP, it is far greater, in my experience, for take out the beatdown. It is far greater than the rewards that came back to them. So if you look at the contribution of African American music and how much of that money went into non-African American pockets and how much joy it brought.
Absolutely. You know,
right. So one of the things I'll say is if I meet an African American person, I would hope that I would meet them as one individual with another. But if I was going to associate them with a culture, I would associate them with a culture that, in my experience, has added a tremendous amount to America in many different ways. And, you know, and I have to tell you, I thought Pleasanton was about the least pleasant place I ever lived. There was no soul in Pleasanton when I was there. It was very tidy, very tidy. But if we're going to talk about the African-American community as a blob, they are a hugely value-added blob to the American experience, in my opinion. And there is there's a tremendous effort to play divide and conquer here. And in my opinion, if we want to succeed as a society, we're not going to let that happen. Carolyn's not a member of a blob. I'm not a member of a blob. You're not a member of a blob. And don't let anybody get you into blob thinking. It's another reason to turn off your phone, leave it in a car, or put it in a Faraday bag. You know, I love Scott Adams' cartoons. I just don't always agree with him. And I certainly don't agree with him on this. I think he needs to spend a little bit more time hanging out in some great Black neighborhoods. Anyway.
Well, the best way to get out of blob thinking is to have a close relationship with somebody who's a member of what you thought was a blob. And you will find individualities probably that set that person apart from the blob.
I have to tell you, this is one of the greatest cab rides in my life. You know, I always talk to cab drivers and I always learn so much.
Oh, absolutely.
I took an Uber ride and the driver was a graduate student. He was just starting cryptography was what he was interested in. This was in San Francisco. He took me to San Francisco airport from Palo Alto. And his family was from, I think it was from China, but he had other family from Taiwan. And he explained the differences between his grandparents, his parents, and himself. He was the younger generation. And he described how different their values were. And what I heard as I talked to him is he had the three generations in Taiwan, the three generations in China, the three generations sort of in Chinese America, but then the three generations in America, separate, you know, non-Chinese. Because I finally said to him, because he was describing three times four or 12 different cultures he had to navigate. And, you know, I think it taught him complexity and why he was clearly going to be very good at cryptography. But I said to him, when you think of yourself, what do you identify as? He said, I think I'm an American. But he said, you have to understand when I'm with all these different groups, the Chinese think I'm Chinese. The Taiwanese think I'm Taiwanese. The Chinese Americans think I'm Chinese Americans. And the Americans may think I'm American or some of these other groups. So he said, I have to be prepared to deal with 12 different points of view when I'm dealing with people because of this cross-cultural confusion.
Right.
And I said, so, you know, essentially he was a member of 12 blobs. And a lot of the people he was dealing with were seeing him as a blob, you know, a member of a blob instead of himself. And he had the most wonderful attitude. He was in a complete state of amusement about the whole thing. He didn't give it any energy. He just understood that was part of what he needed to navigate. And it was all very amusing.
Right. No judgment here. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, you're unique. You're special. Our goal is you have a free and inspired life. Resign from the blobs. Any other comments, Carolyn?
Nope, it's been real.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week. And thank you so much for your recommended links. Thank you for your feedbacks. We appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, Carolyn. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.